Aloha no kākou. This is Hawaiian at Home, a podcast dedicated to encouraging Hawaiian language learners and speakers to keep on their journey. We are a family of five, and we made it a goal before we had kids to make Hawaiian the language of our home. And so it's been 7 years we've been able to do that, but it has not been easy, and it continues to not be easy. And there's just lots of things that we've experienced to learn along the way. So those are the stories we'd like to share with you. Thank you for listening, and here is the episode.
E aloha no kākou, o wāwale no ke wale o ni a oko I ke a manawa I ke ala. Hey guys, I'm going to try to do a solo episode. I used to do these in past seasons, and I haven't gotten a chance to do them again. Man, I have three kids now, and it is just really hard to find quiet time, alone time, period. But I've been wanting to do these because sometimes I just have things that I want to say, and I don't want to share the mic with anybody because I just want to get out all the things I have to say. So stick with me this time around. It's going to be the first one. Might be a little rocky. I've basically just pressed record, and here we go. I want to start with a little story. So a couple weeks ago, the Keep It Aloha podcast, which is super interesting. I've enjoyed listening to their episodes. They put out one with Dr. Keaoni Smith, which someone who's Malu, who Malu is my husband, is really close to. He's an absolutely amazing academic and linguist and very smart in Olelo Hawaii and other languages, and just spent a lot of time around native speakers. So he really, really knows this stuff. And he has a doctorate. He's super great. I highly recommend him and his classes and his way of thought. We respect him a lot, especially since he really tries to assimilate native speech and promote native speech and native speakers. So he was on the Keep It Aloha podcast, and he shared a lot of something, if you get to know him or watch his material, something that's really honestly refreshing is he just says it how it is, and he says what's on his mind, and he doesn't beat around the bush. And so he was talking about a few different things, but specifically one I want to touch on, which is Okina and Kahako, and how he, and a quote, he talks about how it's like training wheels. One is Okina, one is Kahako, and that, you know, we should be striving as a community in Olelo Hawaii to be getting to a point where we don't need the training wheels anymore, that we are striving always to be like native speakers and speak like them, and that these things that we're using now may be tools, but in the end, they're really holding us back, just like training wheels do. I really like that analogy. I thought it was super clear, and in my head, I was like, yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, when I heard that video, I was really inspired. I loved it because choosing not to use Okina and Kahako is something that Malu and I have been doing for a couple years now. And I also have to say, it's something we did in the very beginning, mostly because that's just all we knew. That's what we thought was the normal. That's what we thought that's what Hawaiian was, or at least I did. Maybe Malu thought differently. And then as we learned and became more fluent and spent more time around native speakers, we soon realized that this Okina Kahako is actually a modern form of Hawaiian, and the majority of the years of, you know, Hawaiian being a written language, it wasn't used. And even in majority of the written Hawaiian material that we have today, from before, there is no Okina Kahako. So we started choosing to not use it. I mean, even for example, our first two kids have Okina in their names. I don't think they have Kahako in their name because they don't have them in their names, but they were born within like a year of each other, so they both have Okina in their names legally, but our third doesn't. So you can even see, like, we've even not just done it over social media and in our home and texting and emailing, but we've also decided to make that change in our lives as well. Okay, I feel like I'm going off task here, but let's get back. So when I heard this video, I was pretty excited because I thought he explained it really well, what Okina Kahako are and kind of do for the Hawaiian language community. And then I was interested though, because I know there's a love for these markings, these markings that are called diacritics, and they're really just to help with, you know, pronunciation. That's kind of their cause. That's what they're for, and they're a thing in all languages. Even English has them, but we just don't use them in English because if you're a native English speaker, you just know how things are said. So this isn't something that's only to Hawaiian, the Hawaiian language. And also, it's not part of the alphabet necessarily. It's literally just markings to help you learn pronunciation or help you know how to pronounce something. So once again, going back, I was excited to hear this video, but I wanted to read what other people said because, like I was saying before, I know some people are pretty diehard on these markings. And so in the comments section, I was reading, and there were quite a few people who were supportive and saying how much they loved Kumukiao and how, you know, how our kupuna didn't use these markings, so neither should we. So there was a number of supportive comments. And then there were a lot, kind of sad, of remarks that were in opposition, in scrutiny to what he said. And just, for example, some of them, like one was just saying, like, how could you just, like, I'm a learner and you're shaming us learners, like, shame on you for making us feel ashamed. So that one kind of popped up a lot. There were also some that were saying that Okina Kahako, like, there was one that was saying, we're not trying to be like native speakers, so it's ridiculous to ask us to do this, which I thought that one was, you know, kind of a low standard, low bar there. But yeah, there were definitely a number that just seemed to take a lot of offense to it and be very hurt by his words. And so I wanted to talk today, that was the story, about this situation because I've seen it in myself a lot. In a lot of different things I do in social media, in my work, as an artist, as a mother, as a friend, as a community member, and as someone learning Hawaiian, that I've been in a lot of these situations where you can either choose to be offended or something happens, someone says something, and easily you can be offended, your feelings can get hurt, and then you kind of decide what to do from there. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about a little bit. Now, I was just checking my notes. So I wanted to say taking responsibility for what you can control. So for example, let's just stick to Hawaiian language. This really does happen a lot with me and Malu. If you don't know our story, we learned Hawaiian pretty much on our own and in the community at home. And my husband Malu really took off with that. And he really studies it like every day, multiple times a day. He's really, really a linguist in that aspect. Now for me, I'm more of a social person. I love Hawaiian and I love that we can use it as a family. I don't truly enjoy hardcore studying it, but I have had to over the years in order to keep learning and you know, progressing in some extent. Now, a lot of times Malu and I will have conversations where Malu will say like, hey, like I've asked you so many times to like work on your pronunciation, you know, I've given you resources, or why don't you call a friend who's a native speaker and talk to them more often, or, you know, he'll question me and he'll ask me things like, why aren't you trying harder to keep improving your language? And man, I can tell you a lot of times, maybe half and half, I don't know, it depends on my mood. Sometimes I get really offended. Well, I get really upset because I'm like, I am trying to be a good mom. I'm trying to do all these things, take care of myself, take care of this business. Like, I'm trying to do all these things. I really don't have time, although I would like to. I always tell him, like, I just don't have the time to study it like you do. And he's not even asking me to study it like he does, but just to study it at all or even a little occasionally. But yeah, so I've gone through this a lot with Malu where, you know, he's pushing me, we push each other, but you know, he'll push me to improve in certain areas and aspects. And I push back because I'm like, no, that's uncomfortable. No, I don't want to like call someone and that I know is a better speaker than me. What if I sound terrible? Or I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to. And then therefore I don't. And then I also don't improve and get better. So kind of going back to, if you're put in these situations where maybe someone says something to you like, hey, like, stop using Okina Kahako, that's for amateurs, or that's baby talk, like, you don't need that anymore. You can choose to be offended, or, you know, you can also take responsibility for what you can control and decide, you know what, that's kind of true, and although I don't really like how you said it, or maybe I don't like how that reflects on me as a learner, like, I can do something about that. I can try to not use them anymore, or I can work on listening to more native speakers so I know how things are said without
these marks, or like I can make a change, because maybe it's true and maybe we are holding ourselves back and just kind of using excuses to protect us from really growing and from really changing. Another thing to think about when you get in these kinds of situations is to put things in context. So for example, in this video about Okinakako with Kumukeao, he's talking about, you know, not striving to use this anymore. And a lot of people in the comments, it was a short, it's a reel, so right, it's like 15, 20 seconds. But it's out of context of the whole video. I think we can all agree we've seen this in many different instances, especially in a media-filled world, that some things will be taken out of a longer video and put by itself, and it taken out of context, it can kind of take on a whole nother meaning. So in this episode, if you guys should all go give it a listen, he's not trying to shame learners, and he's not even trying to shame anybody, but he's not necessarily being hard or critiquing learners as much as he's critiquing how the movement has gone away from native speech. So when I listen to the episode and hear him talk, I hear how he's really concerned with how the leaders of the movement and, you know, these people making these decisions about Okinakako and K or T or V or W, how he's concerned how it's coming away from native speech and going into something else and something different. And his voice is like, hey, you know, why are we like, this isn't helping the language. This is giving us a crutch, and this is essentially making us not able to speak at the level that we could be speaking at. So taking things in context, I think, could also be helpful. If you see a video online talking about, and maybe it's been one of our videos or, you know, my husband's videos, but maybe if you see a video about Hawaiian language and maybe it hits you a certain way one day, like, oh, you maybe something happened and it kind of triggers you and makes you feel like, oh, maybe it's not for me. Maybe I shouldn't learn Hawaiian. Maybe think about putting it in context and the context of what specifically is being addressed. Because I think a lot of times if you take things in context and see the bigger picture, you can have an easier time of not necessarily getting offended, or also understanding just where the person is coming from. Okay, now the last thing is, if it's true, then get over it. I think I touched on this a little bit. It's kind of like taking responsibility for what you can control. Sometimes things that people say are just true, and that's why they hurt so much, because they're true. And I, becoming an adult, have had to face those moments where it's like, ouch, yeah, that's true. I did say that. I did sound like that. I did do something that came across that way. You know what? If it's true, then just own up to it and get over it. Not just getting over it emotionally, but like actually get over it. So if someone calls you out on Okinakako and you're like, yeah, maybe you say, yeah, I need it to be able to read. Like, I can't understand what I'm talking about or what I'm reading without Okinakako. Then great. If it's true, take responsibility, and then decide, which I think is amazing if you can do this, then decide, you know what, this is true, but this doesn't mean this is who I am and this, I can't change. So then make a decision, because let me tell you, having made that decision, it is extremely more freeing to be able to read and understand newspapers and context and all sorts of things without Okinakako. And another thing, it gets really choppy. These are like small things, but like it can be really choppy now when I have to read with Okinakako. Like if it's in something, I'm like so distracted by all those marks. It kind of makes me feel like I'm like reading like a music page where it's like, you know, all the little markings and dots. So if it's true, get over it and do something about it. Now, these are all things that I am still working on. These are kind of just thoughts that I've been having and from experiences and from recent experiences as well. But I just want to share that these are things that I'm still working on too. I really am still working on Hawaiian language and getting to the point where I can express my ideas and my thoughts just so fluidly. They just come out and I don't have to, you know, trip up and look at Malu when he's rolling his eyes because I said something wrong for the millionth time. Yeah, that would be great. I'm really working on this too. And even just not trying not to take offense and everything is something I'm working on as well. And I would say for the most part, I think teachers and people who are in those places to teach us things really want us to improve. And it can get frustrating for them when they feel like there's not progress being made. But deep down at the root, I really just believe that they want everyone to improve and get as good as native speech and native speakers, because that really is the goal. That is the goal. So if you've had a situation like this, then maybe something that I've shared today will help you, or at least encourage you, maybe uplift you a little bit so you don't feel so bad or like you're the only one that this has ever happened to. No, you're absolutely not. This happens when you learn anything, but it happens a lot in Hawaiian language. You know, I'm not going to go into it, but we always have to take into account the way that the language was ripped away from us and the shaming that happened to our ancestors, to Hawaiians, to the local people that weren't even Hawaiian by blood. They also spoke Hawaiian as well. They were shamed for knowing this language. And so we have to remember that and give ourselves some grace, because it's not us against each other. It's really just us against the world, or just us against losing this language. So if we can put that at the center of the focus, we're fighting to save the language and save it in its entirety and not create a new one. If you can put that as the common enemy rather than each other, then I really think you'll be able to overcome and keep growing and, you know, progressing and doing all the things that you're trying to do with language in your home. So I just want you to, some takeaways, think about what I just shared. The next time you're in a situation like this, maybe go listen to that podcast episode with Kiao and think about what I said here. If this is a good preface for that, go watch some of Malu's, my husband's, videos, because sometimes they get a little controversial. And think about what I shared today. And also, don't be easily discouraged. This isn't easy, what we're trying to do here. Lastly, if you found any of this helpful, we would really appreciate it if you could support us. Just to paint a picture, you know, we're a Native Hawaiian family. We've got 3 kids trying to make it here. We don't own a home. We rent. We try to pay all our bills. Well, we have to pay all of our bills. And we also at the same time want to make our work meaningful and impactful. So everything that we kind of try to do as far as work is to further the perpetuation of Hawaiian language and Hawaiian culture in our home and in the community. So if you can get behind that kind of cause, maybe you don't know us super well, maybe this is the first time you're listening, but if you think that's a good cause to get behind, I'm also an artist. I'm probably a better artist than I am a speaker. And I create products based off of Hawaiian stories and culture and language and plants. So go ahead and check out my website. Anything you purchase goes to support the free things that we do, and there's a lot of things that we do to just kind of give back. And so if you are interested, go check that out. Really, really appreciate it. If that's too much to ask, then that's totally fine. Share this episode or leave a review or send me a message telling me what your thoughts are. And I just hope to hear from you. So that's all for today. Mahalo nui a oko no ka ho'olohe ana mai. Mahalo. Aloha.
Mahalo I ka ho'olohe ana I ke ia lola ho. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We hope that you found it helpful and encouraging. And if you did, then we would love to hear from you. Please leave us a review, send us a message on Instagram, or share this episode with a friend. Mahalo nui. Aloha.